The reporting and the resources behind all the stories you hear on WSHU depend on the sustained energy of people who care, people like you. I'm WSHU News Director Terry Sheridan, and your investments in WSHU Public Radio help us face reporting challenges and meet them effectively, providing important information and ideas. Thank you for listening and for supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
Early voting begins in Connecticut next week. Vin Moscardelli is a UConn political scientist, and he says Connecticut is already a high turnout state with an almost 80% participation in the 2020 presidential election.
I don't expect us to see a big bump in turnout as a result of early voting. But again, I think it's important symbolically as a way of signaling to people that it's an opportunity that they have to participate and that we want to maximize opportunities for participation here in Connecticut.
Early voting begins on Monday, October 21st and runs through Sunday, November 3rd. Same day registration for eligible voters is available at all early voting locations. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Oysters in Great South Bay now have their own sanctuary. A revitalization project broke ground today in one of New Haven's historically Black communities. Plus, how important is climate change to young voters in our region? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Oysters in Long Island's Great South Bay now have their own sanctuary. The controlled environment will allow the shellfish to reproduce and clean the water at the same time. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
It's the fourth sanctuary on Long Island's South Shore, set up by the nonprofit group Save the Great South Bay. Sanctuaries are protected areas that encourage large, healthy oyster populations to grow. The group says the sanctuaries can also help clean up the bay. An adult oyster acts like a natural filter, removing pollutants from up to 50 gallons of water a day. Oysters used to be abundant in the Great South Bay. Their numbers declined due to overharvesting, pollution, and increased development along the shoreline. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
A major revitalization project broke ground today in one of New Haven's historically Black communities, WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
They're calling it Concat Place on Dixwell, named after the Connecticut Center for Arts and Technology. It will feature a workforce training center, mental and physical health offices, restaurants, and more. Senate Majority Leader Martin Looney represents the city.
This is the kind of development that New Haven needs, neighborhood by neighborhood. This is a signature development for the Dixwell neighborhood.
The Connecticut Community Outreach Revitalization Program, which runs Concat, is putting more than $160 million into the project. The state, county, and city will spend more than $500 million. Construction is expected to take 4 years. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
A nationwide poll from a team of Yale undergraduates shows a wide generation gap among voters. WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports.
The survey finds Vice President Kamala Harris with a generous lead over former President Donald Trump among voters ages 18 to 29. As part of a research project, the undergraduates surveyed 5,500 voters, about half of them younger than 30. They found Harris leads Trump 56 to 35 among young voters, while she has a slim 47% to 46% lead with all voters. Yale Daily News reports the goal of the survey was democracy reform. Respondents were asked about the presidential race, the state of American democracy, and key issues in the election. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Climate change is an important issue to young people, but how much does that actually play into their vote? That story is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
7 people died in Connecticut car crashes this weekend. State police called it a high amount of fatal accidents for just one weekend, and they say all crashes were separate incidents. The Department of Transportation says more than 250 people have died in car crashes in the state so far this year. The owner of Jake's 58 Casino on Long Island is suing the federal government after it says its $4 million pandemic relief loan was not forgiven, while 4 other OTB loans in the state were. The lawsuit says the U.S. Small Business Administration incorrectly deemed the entity ineligible for the loan. The Off-Track Betting Corporation is one of the only 2 local government-run casinos in the U.S. A News 8 poll shows Democratic Congresswoman Jahana Hayes is leading Republican former state senator George Logan in a close race for Connecticut's 5th congressional district. The poll also shows Vice President Kamala Harris leading former President Donald Trump by 1 point. Voters say the economy is their top issue in this year's election. New York State is offering schools $50 million in grants to serve kids meals made from food grown in farms across the state. That could include fresh fruits and vegetables, meat, cheese, and more. New York's agricultural commissioner says the money will let schools cook from scratch and use ingredients from state farmers. Tons of Connecticut's young voters say climate change is a big issue, but how many of them are basing their vote on that? WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Jen Ellen Spiegel, who's done in-depth reporting on this.
Climate change has been an issue of concern for young Americans for a while now. You recently spoke with about a dozen students at an environmental research class at Three River Community College in Norwich. And you talked about voting. Were you surprised by the responses you got?
I don't know that I was totally surprised by the responses. I'd certainly spent a fair amount of time rooting around to see what I could find in the realm of polling, which is a little hard to do because you don't have a ton of direct polling. You sort of have to extrapolate from what's out there. And it was pretty clear that other issues had bubbled up. And certainly from one of the organizations that have been doing this for a long time, the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, better known as CIRCLE, they've been looking at youth civic engagement for years. They're based out of Tufts. And those guys were saying, oh, no, the economy is almost always number one. What was interesting was not so much that something else might supplant climate change, but what some of those things were.
Let's start with the polling. What information were you able to get out of the polling? Because I understand you actually did a poll in September. Connecticut Mirror did a poll with Mass Inc. Polling Group in September. And then there was also a Sacred Heart University poll, which was done with Great Blue.
Well, again, it's a little bit of an extrapolation in that let's take the polling that the Connecticut Mirror did. There was really just one question in there in terms of the issues that people broadly, not just young people, cared about. And it was really phrased which issue mattered most. There were a number of issues. Climate was pretty far down the pretty long list, although 42% of people mentioned it, which is reasonably high, especially given the history of where environmental issues has stood in terms of interest over time, not just climate issues. Then if you broke it out by age group, what I discovered was that the 60-year-old plus group had a 46% interest in it, but the 18 to 29-year-old group was down a little from that point at 43%. But here's the thing. It didn't specifically say what issue are you going to be most interested in voting on. It just gauged the interest. And that harkens back to some of the stuff that's just been around for decades. If you asked people what their interest was in environmental stuff, it was way up there. I'm totally interested in environmental stuff. But then if you ask what they were going to vote on, environmental stuff, it traditionally just, it ended up rock bottom. It was always dead last. So that piece of it was not new. The Sacred Heart University Institute for Sustainability and Social Justice poll was specifically a national youth survey. And they discovered that something like three quarters of the youth they surveyed, and some of them were below voting age, 15 to 29 was their group. Three quarters of them said they were worried about climate change. 55% of them said they were worried enough to have legitimate anxiety about it. But when you ask them, what are you going to be doing in the next 6 months to essentially deal with that, like voting, it just plummeted down to overall about 36%. So there's this disconnect. And that also became an interesting issue, what the reason for the disconnect is. And on some level, it's just younger voters do not know. I mean, I hate to say this, they don't know necessarily what's going on out there. You have a great deal of ignorance about what the Biden administration, for instance, has done on the climate front. I heard over and over again, well, I don't think either group has done enough. Now, as a reporter, seeing what I term just a fire hose of policy coming for the last 4 years now, that was a bit of a head scratcher for me.
I also see that there was a little bit of a difference between an older student who had voted several times, 30 years old, and so this is not going to be the first time they're voting, and a younger student who was voting for the very first time. Ethan is the name of the older student, and he said he's really concerned about the government system.
I think that's the issue that we've often referred to in this election as the future of democracy and how well government works, whether it gets anything done or doesn't get anything done. He seemed to be more tapped into that. Some of the younger students who were interested in climate were looking at it through a more narrow lens, one saying they weren't going to vote for any candidate who would take money from fossil fuel industries. Another said they weren't going to vote for a candidate who, you know, had supported any level of war.
But they all seem to be interested in voting in this election?
Yeah, even the ones who didn't like either of the two major candidates, I would say, well, are you going to stay home? And they're, nope, not going to stay home. Wow. So there you go.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Jan.
You are welcome.
Jan Ellen Spiegel is Connecticut Mirror's regular freelance environment and energy reporter. I'm Ebon Udama.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as always, please feel free to reach out to us with any thoughts or story ideas. Our email is news@WSHU.org. And we'd like to hear from you about this upcoming presidential election as well. Are you tired of political spin and misinformation during election season? Take control of the conversation by telling us what issues matter most to you. We're committed to covering elections your way this year, so visit our website. Again, that's WSHU.org. You're going to want to scroll down a little bit on the homepage, click on Elections, and that's where you can let your voice be heard. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll speak to you tomorrow.